Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming to the third session of the seminar on chanting the holy name of the Lord. The purpose of the seminar is to deepen our relationship with the holy name of the Lord, with Krishna. Krishna is non-different from His holy name, and we want to deepen our relationship with Him. This is basically the purpose. Whatever, as much as we can achieve that, then that will be a success of the seminary. Any of us can go deeper in our relationship to the holy name, that will be a success. It's a short seminar, it's only 45 minutes per session, and it's four sessions, so we did two. The first day we covered the foundational elements based on the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't discuss again these points which were discussed the first day, and yesterday we reviewed them. And yesterday what we did, going deeper into these points, we read the second part of the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11, where the 10 offenses to the chanting of the holy name were described. We requested the participants, some of you were there, others were not there. So we requested to take notes. If you had any questions, there will be opportunity to discuss them with regard to the 10 offenses. And then we ended doing a brainstorm of do's and don'ts in chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is where we ended yesterday. So we should focus on Krishna as a person, should listen attentively to each holy name, each mantra. We should do it to please Krishna. It's glorification of Krishna. We want to please the Lord. We can, if we feel inspired and help us to focus, we can, while chanting, look at Krishna's scriptures or chant in front of the deities, or chant in front of the Mahamantra, the written Mahamantra, so that we can better focus on the chanting. The idea is to keep the focus, to really focus on while chanting. It's important to pronounce properly. We were quoting Srila Prabhupada, referring to the moving the lips, bhajika, well, so that we chant each holy name as clearly as possible. Also, the famous statement of Srila Prabhupada, sit properly. Remember that one? It's recorded. So we should sit properly so that we don't fall asleep. There are not hard and fast rules in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's written in the scripture. But the still proper sitting helps to focus. If we lie down, we may sleep easily than if we are properly sitting. And because the best chanting is performed in the morning, early morning, it's important to go to bed early. Early to bed, early to rise. If you do like, I was born in Spain. If you do like the Spanish people, go to bed late, and it's not good. So, early to bed, early to rise. And then we should offer prayers to Krishna, especially to Him as the holy name. Pray to the holy name to please reveal, become manifest in my heart, become manifest in my lips, so that we can experience the real holy name, the pure name, Shuddha Nama, pure holy name. And also, we should control the fingers, not go too fast, and chant one mantra and four beats, two. Not the other way around, but we, the other way around is not that bad, but also it, because it means we will chant more, in that sense, won't be so problematic. But still, we should focus so that we synchronize the chanting, the healing, and the moving the fingers to count the beats. So this is the do's we identified yesterday. Today we will look at some more, according to Harimana Chintamani, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then the don'ts, meaning what we need to avoid, we should avoid. We should, the don'ts means no meat-eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, which will make our consciousness very much into the bodily platform. It will be very difficult to chant properly, to chant purely. We should avoid distraction. We should avoid
I made the point of Acharya explaining things about the japa, and then we should follow them, and that's, like you said, I want to chant softly, I don't want to chant loudly.
So neglect the
instruction.
So we should avoid neglecting the instructions to have to sleep about proper chanting. We should avoid personal interest. We should chant for Krishna, not in a selfish manner. Chant for the purification of the Lord. We should avoid mumbling. How to use this word? Mumbling is very laundry pronounced. Just chant. And Prabhupada writes an intelligible song sometimes, like sissing or something. So we should avoid mumbling and pronounce, avoid the 10 offenses, avoid watching movies while chanting, as extreme and wild as it may be, Kali Yuga is wild also, and you know, with the new technologies, everything is possible. We should even avoid namavas. Today we're going to discuss this. Namavas and namaparada. And the avadama, separation in chanting, this is coming from Harinam Chintamani, we're going to discuss today. What do we mean by that? And we should avoid overeating, especially at night, because then we feel very tired, and then we, in the morning we're not able to wake up early for the chanting. There are many more in both sides, but this is what the group, many of you and all the devotees who are present, came up yesterday. Okay, so I think we should move to the next point. Any of you wants to ask something? Or you want to ask? Yes?
What about the mind control?
Yes. What do you mean?
How to control the mind while chanting?
Yeah. The mind becomes controlled by the chanting. We don't need to do anything extraneous. By chanting and focusing on the chanting, then the mind becomes controlled. Is the idea.
Most often quoted how to control the mind is as soon as our mind wanders away from the holy name, we should just bring it back. And by repeating this process, our mind will get the message.
Yes. That's in Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned. Whenever and wherever the mind goes, we should bring it back under the control of the self. In this case, we'll be actually under the control of the holy name, which makes it easier. withdraws and then brings back, goes bringing back.
Maharaj, praying through the holy name, you know, it's one of the things mentioned. Praying, we should pray through the holy name. I think that, like, due to my background and Christian background, I feel Christianity has preached a lot with fear. I mean, Lord Chaitanya is different. He is preaching with love. So, but still, this is like in our system, you know, like, and to come out. And it is difficult, I find, to find like meaning in praying to the holy name in these things. You know, like, how can we work on that?
Okay, there are prayers, written by acharyas. Mm. We find them in the Namamrita, right, where different devotees pray to the holy name. We could look for some and read through. Mm. So we can repeat prayers which were composed by devotees. It's just like a prayer. It's a prayer to the holy name. Okay. Isn't it? Chetto Dharpana Marjanam. All glories to the sanctity of Sri Krishna, which cleanses the heart. It's a glorification of the holy name. And there are many other prayers by Buddha Goswami and other Vaishnava Acharyas. So we can repeat them, and then based on that inspiration we can also express our own heart in a sincere way. Can we also simply to pray the blessings of the holy name? To chant properly the holy name. So basically it's asking the Lord permission that he comes manifest in this way. Can be also very simple like that. But you are right, we shouldn't do it with fear. We should do it with love, or at least with an attempt to love, with a desire to love. We may not be there yet, but if we wish to love Krishna by cultivating, then gradually we improve in that.
Maharaj, in the Bhajan Rahasya from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I just read a few days ago a very strong statement, and I would like you to give explanation because it was very disturbing for me. He said, Yogi, Kamis, and Yogi, Kamis, and Ganis cannot have taste for Bhajan. But also he said about Mishra Bhaktas. They can have, he say exactly like that, they cannot have a slightly taste for Bhajan. So I was, I mean, Mishra Bhakta, I mean, a lot of, I mean, at least many, I think I am Mishra Bhakta anyway. So, and it's not easy to be pure Bhakta. So can you explain what was it?
Yes, I mean, we were discussing the first day, Bhajan Rahasya is an advanced level of.
Yeah.
So, from the point of view of advanced level,
yeah,
this is what it means.
Yeah.
In order to really become absorbed in Bhajan, we need to go beyond the Nisha Bhakti. We should reach at least the level, Srila Bhaktivinoda writes in Harinam Chaitanya, at least the level of Madhyam Bhakta. This is the idea, that we cannot remain a materialistic devotee attached to material sense enjoyment, but we should at least become situated at the intermediate platform of emotional service. Is that okay? Yes.
Yeah, so it's a point of view of advanced devotees, this statement.
Bhajana Rahasya is a tense bhajan. It's discussing meditating on Krishna's particular pastimes at different times of the day. So it's going deep. And also in the beginning of the book, Srila Bhaktivinoda quotes a verse that states that if we prematurely try to meditate on the Leela, then we will become bewildered. Mm. So this is the idea. So I will have to see the quote to be more precise, but this is in a general way, this is what I can say.
Mishra Bhakta, I understand, means Kanishta.
It means Bhakti is mixed with Karma or Jnana or Yoga. So the interest is not pure, the pure devotional service to please the Lord. but there is some other conceptions, mundane conceptions. And there is a materialistic vision. We see Krishna in the temple, but we don't see Krishna in the heart of every living being. So this will be Kanishtha level. The Anisha Bhakta Kanishtha is very much related. Of course, there are different degrees of mixture. So it's not black and white. Between the black and the white, there are many different degrees of colors, and that should be taken into account. Okay, let me look at my notes for today. I would like to make it as relevant as possible, so I don't want to get too theoretical, though it's good that we look at Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings are very important. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to chanting with Sambandha. We should chant in Sambandha. Sambandha or Sambandha Tattva. Any of you would like to briefly say what this may mean or what this means to you to chant in Sambandha? Satchinandan Swami Maharaj in his japa seminars, always open in the kirtans, always there was chanting in Sambandha. When he perceived that the audience is somewhat distracted, he says, chant in Sambandha, is what we're going to connect. Anything else about Sambandha? Again?
I think, the same thing, but that we accept, because actually we have a relationship with Krishna, but we kind of rejected it. So if we accept it, I mean, that's in a different mood, kind of, I find. You know, we accept Krishna is there, and we accept it, and we chant like that. It's different. Then you just pronounce the names, just like that. It's different. Then you accept, okay, Krishna is there, and you pronounce his names to please him.
We accept. I'm not fully.
We actually have a relationship with Krishna, but we have rejected. And Krishna wants to relate to us, but now we accept it that he wants to come to us. That to me, that's the way of connecting.
To accept the relationship, we have the relationship.
Yeah.
To accept good.
I always heard that Sambandha Tattva means connection.
Yes, means connection. Good.
So to chant with Sambandha means to chant in the spirit of mood of connection with Krishna.
Good. Anything else?
I don't know. Yeah, but I'm gonna guess. In order to attain something new, you have to get rid of something old, yes? So maybe detachment from any material identification, yeah? Might help.
Good. Yes. Yes, that's good. To disconnect, actually...
Yeah, from yourself.
To empty.
Yes.
Yes, to empty what is... To empty the material conception so that we can have personal relation with Krishna. That's very important, to get free from anarthas and from impurities. That's very important. Certainly, yeah. We find out in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur, quotes a verse, Mana samharnam saucham, maunam mantartha chintanam, adhyaratmam anilvedo, jata sampati etava. That in order to achieve success in the chanting of japa, different elements need to be included. There must be a reformation of the mind, or making the mind attentive. Mana samharnam, saucham means purification. Maunam means silence. And silence basically means to empty what is not necessary. Like in order to put, if we have a cup and we want to put milk, and there is ink in the cup, we need to take out the ink and then clean it and then put the milk. Just like that. Or if we want to make it more simple, the ink and water. So with the water, cleanse the ink so that the water will stay pure. So yes, that element that's important in the samanda process to establish samanda. Therefore also there is Srila Krishna Thakur refers to three considerations, three tattvas, we could say, the Supreme Lord, then the jiva tattva, the soul, and then prakriti, the material nature, which is covering us. And in that sense, Srila Prabhupada, you may remember when Srila Prabhupada says that we should chant like the child who is crying, calling for the mother. So this is the samana. My dear Lord, they have fallen in this ocean of material existence. Please rescue me from this condition. So that prayerful moment. The Lord, we need the Lord, and we are being harassed by Maya, which impedes us from coming closer to the Lord, keeps us away from the Lord. So this is something important to take into account. So chanting in samanda, and then Srila Bhaktivinoda mentions we should avoid three things. Vyavadana means to be separated from the Lord. And there are two types of Vyavadana. One is named Varna Vyavadana, which refers to the syllables. And the other is Tattva Vyavadana, which basically means disruptions in the philosophy or in the conclusions of Shastra. The Varna Vyavadana refers to when the syllables of the holy name are separated. For example, I mentioned before, I was born in Spain, one name would have the name Cristina. Do you have it also here, Cristina?
Cristina.
In Spanish you say Cristina. So you could say Krishna. There is a T in the middle. Krishna. Then there is separation of the syllables. And that makes that the pure name does not manifest immediately. It's separated. Okay? Yeah? So, and then there is Tattva Vyavadana means when we are separated in consciousness. So we are chanting, but because we commit offenses, because our consciousness is not focused, or because we think we don't remember that we are eternal servants of Krishna while chanting. Or we forget also that the holy name of the Lord and Krishna are the same. Nama, the name, and what we mean by the name are one and the same. Then we become conditioned. We are separated from Krishna. We are not in Sambandha. And then when we chant in this way, then we cannot experience the holy name of the Lord. We are chanting in Nama Parada or in Nama Vas, which are also mentioned as two things that need to be avoided. Any of you remembers from Harinama Chintamani, those of you who may have read, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there is one type of offense which is the captain of all of them, that is, that this, if we conquer that offense, then all the others fall into place, meaning we can overcome them. Who remembers?
Inattention.
Yes, good. So this will be, we could call it the first meaning, not in number, but to focus on. So we should focus on avoiding inattention. What would be the way of avoiding inattention?
To have taste.
To have faith, very good.
And taste.
Taste,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so. So we need taste, but for that we need faith and pure intention, but you know, that process. These are two things we may focus. To turn with faith, to trust Krishna. Sometimes we mistrust, because in the material world we have suffered so much that we mistrust, we don't trust anybody. We don't trust even Krishna, he's loving us unconditionally. We abandon him, he's coming with us. In our heart, he is coming in the form of the deity, in the form of the holy name, in the form of the spiritual master, in the form of the devotees, in so many other ways, in Shastra, but still we don't trust him. So we need to learn to trust. By practicing faith and trust, then gradually we can recover. Due to our conditioning, we don't trust. But just to practice faith, and then pure intention, the willingness to become, to chant purely. This will help us to move from this state to the next stage, which is Namavas. Anyone like to explain Namavas? Someone else? No.
Chanting without offense.
Like
Chanting without offense.
Chanting without offense, okay. It's close to that, but not exactly. In Namavas, sometimes Namaparada may appear still, but it's, we are correcting the offenses, you are right in that sense.
It's a clearing stage, it's becoming.
Yes, clearing stage, sure. It's a clearing stage. We are correcting the offenses. There are two different types of namavas, which Srila Bhaktivinoda analyzes. He makes two groups twice, so I don't want to make it too complicated, but just to summarize. One will be the level of, let's put it like this. He talks about Shravana Mabhas and Helena Mabhas. Helena Mabhas will be the lower level, which basically means that we chant the holy name without an offensive attitude, but it's kind of with some neglect and intentionally. Like, for example, Ajamil was calling his son Narayana, who had the name of God. So he was calling his son. He didn't mean to call God, but he was pronouncing the holy name of God without any effect, directly offensive attitude. So this is a lower level of Manavas, but this is so powerful that it gives liberation to the chanter, liberation from all karmic reactions. So powerful is Krishna's name. Even chanted unconsciously, liberation is attained. Ajamil got to promote his karmic reactions. Just by chanting a few times Narayana at the time when he was about to die.
It's an example of Hela. That's an example of Hela.
That's an example of that group. Hela means with disregard or neglect. So it can be chanting with neglect, chanting unintentionally, in jest or ridicule, like when we are chanting by the street and people are imitating the devotees, Hare Krishna. They don't mean anything, but they are chanting in jest. So that's Helena Mabhas. They're getting purified by such chanting. Even the Daisy, these Hare Krishna people. Like, for example, the example, classical example given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is when Muslims, they pronounce in their language, they have a word haram. Like this terrorist group, Boko Haram. So when people are doing in the news, Boko Haram, like, Boko Haram means, you know the translation of?
Haram means sin.
What?
No.
Who's that?
Haram means sin.
Means sin, yeah. Abominable. Yeah, sin, abominable. Boko Haram means, you heard of this group in Nigeria, they were kidnapping girls to make them into Muslims, of course. And the meaning is, Western education is abominable. Boko refers to the West. And haram means avoidable. They may be right in some sense, yes. but they take it to the extreme. But then when they say haram, whoever comes they are saying, whether themselves or others, haram, they're chanting the name of Lord Ram. Haram means all Lord Ram. So there is, this is actually Helena Mabhas. Unconsciously chanting the holy name of the Lord.
Oh, sure, this is a good question because to me, so it means someone who just make fun in the street because he sees us chanting Hare Krishna is Namabas, and then the devotee who tried every day to chant the holy name but is spacing out is less advanced than him. To me, it's like it doesn't go together.
I don't get it. The devotees are advanced at whom?
The devotees who try every day to chant but spacing out is less advanced than the one just one time say Hare Krishna and joking. Mm-hmm.
The body may sing to Namaparat.
Well, it depends if the devotee is committing Namaparat or not. If the devotee, therefore we are advised to move at least to the cleaning stage. Mm-hmm. Actually, Namaparat, but the Vinodhakur said, should also be avoided. We should target Shuddhana, chant the pure name. And in order to chant the pure name, we don't need to be immediately a pure devotee. By chanting the pure name, meaning the pure devotee, to have Krishna prema in him. Pure devotee, we need to become situated in Madhyam level, which means pure devotee. It's not the highest level of pure devotee, but it's pure devotee. Where material interests are put aside. And the focus is on loving the Lord, cultivating a relationship with the Lord, in developing compassion for the jivas, and in developing compassion for the jivas, making friendship with devotees, and avoiding envious people. The focus is pure Krishna consciousness. So from Madhyama level, it is possible to focus on getting Chuttanama, the pure holiness. So that should be our focus. In order to do that, we need to move to the highest level of Namavas in the cleaning stage, which is Shraddha Namavas. It means we chant with faith. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes faith and pure intention. Then the taste will come. When we chant with faith and pure intention, and remembering that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord are identical, then the taste in the heart and the tongue will become manifest. It's actually, there is a taste in the tongue. And therefore, Somacharya, Spritu Maharaj, and Srila Rupa Goswami say, we want to have millions of tongues and millions of ears, because the taste is there in the chanting. But before reaching that, we need to chant with faith and with pure intention. It's a time to end. You can take one last comment or question. Tomorrow we want to reflect on our own experiences.
You come to the Madhya platform. Can we come to the Madhya platform by just worshipping Krishna in the temple, or do we have to go out and preach and do Harinam Sankirtan?
Generally, preaching helps a lot, but it's not that if one is in the temple, is not able to achieve it if develops a proper consciousness. But the consciousness of a preacher helps a lot. The holy name becomes very pleased when somebody preaches, gives him to others, because the holy name Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana Kalikara Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana. The holy name has descended to give mercy to the people of the age of Kali. So he's very pleased when a servant is helping, is assisting him in the mission. So in that sense we get a very powerful credit. But preaching can be also preaching to devotees, like in the Gita. To preach to devotees also, that's very important. Sometimes we preach outside, but then when the people are with us, we don't care about them. So we need to take care of the devotees, and that's most important. So now is the time of the kirtan, and Prabhu is here, and everybody is welcome to participate. Tomorrow will be the closing session, and we will reflect on our own challenges and see what plan we can do to improve individually. And then we can share some of all, whatever we feel comfortable. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. समवेत गौर भक्तवृंद की जय, निताई गौर प्रेमनंदे।